starting with the US. Not a lot of data last week, although what did come out was fairly constructive. So you know, we had things like the June ISM non-manufacturing PMI came out. It's still holding above 60. It wasn't quite as strong as it was the month before. The month before it was at 64. Came down to 60.1, which is a bit below market expectations, but broadly speaking is showing signs that you know the recovery is still underway and has still got pretty good support for it. We had the minutes from the FOMC meeting, and whilst you know there's a little bit of caution there about inflation, it's still the same story that they expect it to be temporary, and so you know, obviously we're going to have to watch inflation numbers as they come through. But there's a fair chance that you know, we might be seeing the peaks in some of the PPIs and CPIs in the US and around the world over this next month or so. So that'll actually play into the hands of the Fed. So generally, the market by the end of the week is beginning to feel, yep, you know, the Fed's still got our back. It's still going to be there and fairly supportive for quite some time to come. And then we had the jobless claims numbers came through, which suggests that you know, there's still reasonable chance of pretty good employment numbers coming through in the United States. You know, some of the other factors that are occurring there, you know, they're getting a lot more freedom around the country. But in parts of the country with low vaccination rates, you know, they're also getting some resurgence of COVID-19. So this is something that you know, is a longer-term thing to monitor. And things to monitor longer-term, particularly the US and the UK, where they're saying, look, you know, if we've got our vaccination rates up, we can go back to normal living and live with this virus. If they manage to do that, that's a really positive sign for the rest of the world because you've got very positive supports for economic growth, and it means that we've got strong growth for quite some time to come. So that sort of thing, you know, just watching that, it's a long-term burn one, that one. And then running into this week, we've got a lot of economic data, some of it quite important. So things like the CPI for the month of June and producer prices, these will be watched pretty carefully. Remembering that the CPI, going back to May, we had a 0.6% month on month, which took the annual change for the CPI up to 5%. Now, obviously that's high. Market consensus for the number that comes out on Tuesday is that we'll get 0.5% month on month. That'll actually bring down the year on year to 4.9%. Fairly important that there's that little bit of a drift off the top. If it goes the other way, then you know, obviously it's just a little bit of a caution again and a little bit hard to call. So Wednesday will be followed up too with producer prices. And you know, going back to May, producer prices, huge rise of 0.8% month on month, that lifted the annual rate to 6.6%. And again, they're hoping for 0.5%, which would just, we'll go up a little bit to 6.7%, but there'll be clear signs that this thing's starting to top off. And so, you know, that's the hope that's running through those numbers that, yeah, you know, we've had a pretty big inflation scare, but it's starting to show some signs of just going over the top. Later in the week, we'll get the lead indicators from things like some of the partial ones relating to manufacturing in New York State, the so-called Empire State Survey, month of July. That was strong going back to June at plus 17.4. It's expected to go to plus 18.5. In these surveys, zero is the expansion contraction line. These are well in expansionary territory. The same with the Philadelphia Fed survey a bit further down the East Coast on the US. It was a huge reading of 30.7 going back to June. Expected to be back a little from that, but still a very strong plus 28.3. We'll also on Friday get things like retail sales and also Michigan consumer sentiment coming through. June retail sales expected to perhaps be off a little, down 0.4%, but in core terms up about 0.5. So looking for a reasonable retail sales report for the month of June. And July and Michigan consumer sentiment still showing the economy picking up. The other factor this week to watch, of course, is we're going right into earnings season again for US corporates. A lot of the big banks report through the course of this week. What's happened so far going back, you know, Q3, Q4 last year, Q1 this year, is that we've had these quite big lifts in US earnings, and they've beaten expectations. The expectations are very high for this earnings season. They're expected to be up 65% year on year from this time last year. And there's a fair chance they'll probably beat that. So it's one of the reasons running into this week why you had just about every US share market index hitting record highs at the very end of last week after a bit of a choppy week. We're still in this environment of buying risk assets on the signs that the recovery is still underway. You had some ebbing and flowing in that view last week, but it came out strongly towards, this recovery is still there and it's going to be going for some time yet. China, last week, we had the cakes in non-manufacturing PMI came out. Bit of a pullback on this one to 50.3 from 55.1. China, the story there is, they got a lot of their best growth data a long time before we would expect to see it everywhere else, because they were first into the pandemic and first out going back last year. Their Q1 data was very, very good in China, whereas it wasn't that good for many other major economies. As we run through Q2, and this is the tail end of Q2 with the June reading, they're just starting to fade off, but still with a respectable growth rate. And so, that's really what that non-manufacturing PMI is suggesting. It's pulled off some very big peaks, but it's starting to come back. We got last week the CPI and PPI, and these ones reasonably constructive. The CPI was actually lower than expected for the month of June, came down to 1.1%. It was expected to be 1.4, down from 1.3 the month before. Producer prices came back more or less as expected, but they're still very, very high. So if you went back to May, they'd rocketed to 9% year on year for producer prices. They're expected to come back to 8.8%. They came back to 8.8%. So this is that sense that things are just going over the top now for these annual producer price readings in parts of the world. Still very, very elevated, can still be pretty problematic if you've got strong demand running, still feeding through into consumer price inflation, but just a sigh of relief that these things are not still rocketing upwards. This week in China, on Wednesday and Thursday, we get a lot of data, including Q2 GDP out of China. And here's where you see pretty clearly that things just coming back a touch. The year-on-year in Q2 GDP is expected to go from 18.3%, that's a positive 18.3% in Q1, and it'll come down to still a very high 8.1%. As you get later in the year, we'll be running into fives and sixes in those annuals. So that's where it's just starting to fade back, whereas in many other parts of the world, it's going to be rocketing as you go through the later part of the year. Before that, we'll get June readings for exports and imports. Again, some fading back in exports on Wednesday. Still very strong year on year, 23.1%, the market thinks, from 27.9%, going back the month before. Similar story for imports, where they expect to come back to 30% from 51.1%. And then we get the June readings of fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales, all on the same day as Q2 GDP. And again, all of them with this bit of a fade on them. So if you're looking at fixed asset investment spending, May it was running at 15.4% year on year, coming back, we think, to about 12.5%. Industrial production, 8.8%, coming back to 7.9%. Retail sales coming back from 12.4% to 11%. Even on that fade, these are still much stronger numbers than we saw ahead of the COVID crisis. So you still got pretty strong support there in terms of Australian growth. Then moving to Australia, and the data that's coming through is still for the most part pretty strong. We had ANZ job ads most recent month up another 3% after being up 6.8% month on month the month before. May retail trade, we'd already had a preliminary reading of this at 0.1%. That 0.1 was actually revised upwards to 0.4%, which is actually quite a respectable reading after 1.1% growth the month before. We also had May home building approvals, and these are coming down because of some of the incentives that were put there for building. So no surprise, they fell by 7.1% after falling 5.7%. They're still up on a year-on-year basis. And the RBA meeting, no change, still at 0.1%. You've got the beginnings of a fade on the in terms of quantitative easing, in terms of bond purchases, coming back to $4 billion a week. So just a slight fade running through that, but broadly speaking, the message on interest rates is the same. And we had a couple of news conferences there with the RBA governor. Yeah, he's saying some interesting things. He's pretty adamant. They're not thinking of moving interest rates anytime soon. And the other part of the conference was some interesting comments about immigration, the lack of it, and the effects on wages. He's indicating that in the past, our strong immigration has been a factor which has held down wages growth. We'll get rather the opposite occurring with the lack of immigration we've got with the restrictions at the moment. He wasn't suggesting in any way that immigration is a bad thing. He was just saying that that's one of the effects that you get from immigration. So with the lack of immigration that we've got, it looks as if it's going to last for a while longer. Yeah. We should expect that wages growth is going to be rather stronger. My suspicion is that the RBA, eventually, this is the one that's going to change their mind about things, is when we start to see wages growth moving up. In the meantime, though, we've got a speed bump, and it's in the form, obviously, of this very uncertain lockdown now that's running for Sydney. Where it's a bit different, this lockdown, from others, is that we have got predominantly the Delta variant with the COVID spread in Sydney at the moment. Very, very hard to contain. It runs ahead of contact tracing very, very easily. And you can see that in the sorts of comments that are coming through. There's also an element of uncertainty, a greater element of uncertainty about the lockdown in Sydney, because it's just not possible to say when this lockdown might end, because at the moment this thing is well and truly out of control. So it's certainly got a few more weeks running on it. Now, that comes down to some of the estimates of damage from this lockdown. When Victoria was in lockdown, or Melbourne was in lockdown, the estimates were running around about $100 million a day. That proved to be excessive. It didn't end up being as high as that, because once you get out of the lockdown, you tend to get some pickup in spending on the other side. And the rest of the country was growing pretty well, so it was offsetting. Now, with Sydney, you will have seen some estimates in the papers running around $150 million a day. Again, this is quite excessive. If it were $150 million a day, we'd be stripping 0.1 percentage points off quarterly GDP growth every 3 to 4 days that Sydney's in lockdown. That is not going to be the way it happens. And the reasons are, for a start, with the lockdowns we've had elsewhere, we have got some support mechanisms now for income again. Not as generous as JobKeeper, but they're there. There's some talk that they may be lifted a bit with announcements from the government today, so watching that to see what happens. The second one is that you have got the rest of the country, which is coming out of their lockdowns and is rebounding, so that's providing some offset. The rest of the world's coming through and is providing offset through international trade. So these are very, very strong offsets to what's happening in just what's happening around the Sydney economy, big as it is. The other part about this is that there's some confidence, even though it's uncertain how long this thing's going to last. We do know that we're getting vaccination rates up, and at some point later this year, going into the first part of next year, even with this COVID, with this variation of COVID, you won't get lockdowns like this. It's it will be following more the US and the UK model. Once you get out of the lockdown, the rebound spending is likely to be pretty strong that comes off the back of this. So it will be a bit of a speed bump, but not as big as being estimated in some of the details which are going through currently. Now, in terms of other data that's coming through this week, we've got June business conditions, business confidence. There should be a little bit of a setback on this because we had Victoria going through its lockdown. We had the short ones running through Perth and Brisbane. So NAB business conditions, if anything, these were very elevated going back the month before, plus 37 for business conditions, record high, and business confidence near a record high at plus 20. Should see a little bit of a pullback on those. We've also got July Westpac consumer confidence coming out, our consumer sentiment, on Wednesday. This was down 5.2% going back to June because we did have some of those lockdowns. It'll be down again for the month of July, but is still running in quite high territory. And then we get June employment and unemployment rates coming out on Thursday. And this survey would have been taken the first 2 weeks of June, so still probably going to be okay in terms of job growth. And the market consensus on it is plus 30,000 after the plus 115,200 we had the month before. There's an expectation that participation rate was still rising up to a new record 66.3%. If that's the case, the unemployment rate comes down a notch to 5% from 5.1%. If it goes below 5% into the fours, we have had states which have had fours on the front of their unemployment rates in the not too distant past, but for the whole nation to be down at in the fours, you're going back the best part of 15 years before you've seen that before. So it would be a very, very low unemployment rate. True, we still got the data to catch up with what's happening with the lockdown in Sydney, but as I mentioned before, that's a speed bump and probably a more minor speed bump than currently has been estimated in some of the press reports. Europe last week, we had July Centix investor confidence. It rose to 29.8 from 28.1, so that one going quite strongly. Remembering that Europe's coming out of its lockdowns, May retail sales came out. They had a very strong bounce as people started to get their freedom back again, up 4.6% month on month. That was after being down 3.9% the month before. We also had the ECB meeting, still support coming through from the ECB, although they're not changing any of the major policy settings for the time being. This week in Europe, we get May industrial production, it'll be down 0.1%, we think, after being up 0.8% the month before, and the trade balance. And, of course, there'll be the impact of the Euro final, which was a strong positive for both countries like Italy and the United Kingdom until the result came through just a few minutes ago. Which means that we'll probably have a big sulk in Britain, and it wouldn't be at all surprised to see a few burning city centres over the next few days. Whereas, of course, it'd be the opposite in Italy, where it will be the most massive boost, a continuing boost to their economic recovery. Those are the vagaries of soccer and penalty shootouts, but it will have some economic impact.